Down to Brass Stacks. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I good and bad. Cause I got first thing, you got a program already that if you want some more time. You sit down messing and guest program, Mr. Ellis, that wants some more time. That program is so interesting that you can't get it getting, you only can get a minute talk.
You know that. In our business, less is more.
Less is more.
You know, in our business, we are supposed to make you want more.
And I want more.
Yeah, but you can't necessarily get it.
Well, you're the PM there, so you know how we can get it.
Well,
But listen, honestly,
I know how you can help us to get it.
I want some more time. I just sit down and listen. Especially the Dennis Ramden. You got any opinion on that Dennis Ramden saga?
Not really. I think what I do have a lot of time for is the kind of energy that has been put into the program. I think it is definitely one of our best programs on the air. And I certainly want to see more done with it. There's no doubt about
that.
Well, I will say at this stage is that I want to see more done with it. I think it is a top class program.
It is a top class program.
And I think that anything of that class must be able to achieve even more. Well, that's as far as I will go.
Okay, but I want to discuss, you know, when is the St. Michael time for the gathering?
I don't know. I haven't checked the schedule in that kind of detail.
Brass Stacks and Larry Shaw got a lot of roadside cooks. God, that's all you can see. You feel that you can get some sponsors. Or you can get your girl Allison to get some sponsors. Where we can go a Brass Stacks and Larry Shaw tent somewhere where, like me, you a piece of cook wine. You're a real cook wine. Raw and them sort of cook wine and little people come and taste all culinary skills.
Well, let me put it this way. It is a useful suggestion that we will consider.
Any profits?
Okay.
Some charitable organization.
Okay.
Because my reason too for saying that, at least I know I got two people that can come and eat my kahoo. Because I do a piece of kahoo choosy. And two ladies came here and ate my kahoo and tell me, well, you got a back gate? Who comes to your haircut? They tell you, you want to cut this, my dear? It's me. And I hear David saying how he's a guy. Hey, buddy, where? I hear Dennis can make some good doubles. You ever taste any Dennis doubles?
Not yet, but I'm sure that I'm...
Well, I'm probably hiding them from you, because two young ladies tell me that he's do some good doubles.
And you sure that we're talking about the same thing that you're talking about?
Dennis Johnson, yeah?
Okay.
Tell me Dennis Johnson do some good doubles.
All right. Well, I'm sure that when the time comes, he will show us his culinary skills. But
the
idea that we should look at something as part of what you call part of the regathering process, you know.
Yeah.
Remember, you know, there's a lot that is being done right now to support that whole concept with all of the things that are being covered generally in the country and that sort of thing. So you have but a limited set of resources. But as I said, a good idea is worth considering. And if we think that, you know, we got the time and the resources to do what you are suggesting, then it is something that can be considered. Well, I really am not in a kahoo contest. And
we're not in the contest, Mr. Ellis. We're just doing things.
I just want you to know.
Sample.
And I just want you to know that, contrary to what you guys are suggesting, I don't just cook cuckoo. All right. but that is my personal business. All right. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Stacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
I enjoyed both the previous callers. no, to be fair to you, I was really calling. I was motivated to call based on the discussion with the SIG building. discussion. So I really appreciated what the previous caller.
Yes, it was quite an interesting contribution.
Yeah, he actually said a lot of things I want to see. He has a lot of knowledge. The balance I want to bring is that I want to give you examples of two companies. So everything you said is true, huh? But I know of two companies, one a statutory corporation and one private sector, where complaints were being made for some time, just as you said, and nothing was being done until staff actually really got serious about it and almost to the point of fisticuffs, I should say. And upon investigation, and one of the people going to the doctor and then having to get no less than 14 different types of medication just to combat this respiratory attack, they discovered that, yes, it was indeed the building that they were in. Me personally, I was stationed in Bridgetown for about 6 months, and I have this plant that I take with me here all the time. And my plant was flourishing, and I was actually pretty fussy that my plant is growing very well in the building. Lo and behold, one of our people came in with all sort of gadgets and stuff, so they're just checking the building out. And when they tested it, I was moved from within the building within, I think it was gone within 2 weeks after that testing. I was unaware that I was actually in a building that was not good for my health. My plant was enjoying it. I felt comfortable enough apart from at times feeling a little hot. But so the point I'm making is that companies do respond when people keep enough noise, A, and B, there are other companies that will be proactive because they are aware of what's going on. So what the gentleman was saying was actually very true.
So why was your plant enjoying it and it was a danger to you?
I suspect because they never told me. All somebody quietly said to me, Patrick, the building that you're in is sick, that you need to move. I was not aware. I was not aware my plant was enjoying it and growing very fast. And I was enjoying the plant, and I figure it's all good, I'll be comfortable. And just when it was settling in, like 6 months in, they said, no, I have to move. And it was only after I was told that the building is actually not very good for your respiratory condition.
One of the features of the whole process is that on many occasions when companies actually do the tests, because they fear litigation, they do not share the information with the staff. So you hear that people are coming in to do a test, and then you are left in the dark as to exactly what they've discovered.
I will say this much to you, that in both the instances that I'm aware of, action was taken, but no big report was ever shared per se. They just took action. I can say this to you, that I have been, even in my office, a gentleman from IT came to check something for me. He saw that I had a printer here that he hardly used, but it's there just in case they need it. And he said to me, you know, we're actually trying to get you guys to not have ink printers in your offices anymore. And I asked him why. And he said, because it's been proven that the ink printers actually, as the ink deteriorates and you keep using it, and that those let off molecules in your small room that has carpet on the floor, by the way, all archive films, audio recordings, etc. So I'm dropping a hint to you, Mr. Ellis, in case you all have not addressed it yet, because I know you would have audio recordings galore there as well. It depends on the medium that you keep things on. So places that have archives, a treasure trove of valuable historic information that we used to keep on reel-to-reel and on all the other formats, those need to be digitized. That's one thing I learned in the last 2 years, that they need to be digitized and it needs to be treated seriously. You don't want to lose the material, so you don't want to throw it away. But yes, there's a cost. But as the gentleman said before, you have to look at the value of what you have stored in terms of historic information that you want to preserve. And of course, then putting on a format that is less harmful or not harmful at all to the persons that you want to be retrieving it from time to time.
I think we need to look at it from this angle, that yes, we have come a long way in terms of physical development.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, there are some pluses and there are some minuses. It's more convenient on the one hand, but we may well be suffering in a different way. And the need for the relevant Ministry of Government to do more of an investigation. The trade union movement should really be pressuring the government through the social partnership.
But that's the what I was, that's the next point I was going to raise with you. That I to be fair to them, I am not convinced that people understand how, these long term and how serious it can be, because everybody doesn't complain, and that has been a self-inflicted danger in itself. Because I don't think that the trade unions and many businesses in Barbados are aware of how serious it is. Bosses can get up and get in the cars and go when they want, or go and eat outside, etc. For all we know, the whole planting tree exercise thing maps right straight back into this, you know, in terms of making sure we have spaces that we can breathe again. And I can say that the building that I was in was, yes, in Bridgetown, where plenty traffic was all around. We never would give thought to the fact that the very cars and the busyness of a town area could actually be hurting the very people working in the said same area. So all those things have to be put on the table. And I don't want to knock the trade unions or even the government per se, unless they know, I guess that's what you're saying, though, treat to it, pay some attention to it, because it is serious and it does have long-term impact. A lot of the buildings, including what's taking place right now, is a direct relation to that. My mother worked in that building for most of her life.
There's been nothing that has been more disappointing from where I sit than what has happened to the people who worked in what was the Roebuck Secondary School. I mean, the stories that have come from those people.
That nail on the head.
That is a national...
The history is there.
Yeah, you know,
the history is there. We have lots and lots of stories of persons that have been... That all of a sudden they didn't have no heritage, no bloodline of particular diseases in their family lines, and yet the people pass away and nobody pays any attention to it. But the signs are there, but we need to pay attention to it and then deal with it. The cost and the savings of lives is going to far outweigh any initial output. But it is a serious thing. We are a very small island. You see the Sahara dust that's supposed to be kicking up on the island all now, the whole island gets blanketed in that, and there's no way to convince anybody to tell. You can't tell somebody that, well, I don't work in town or I don't work in any of those buildings. Every one of us gets affected and impacted.
And that includes bosses too, you know. But because you say bosses can get in cars and go somewhere, bosses have to work in the same buildings, and they're as vulnerable as anybody else. The big mistake here is that you sometimes can minimize it. And part of the reason why people minimize it is this. But it is my job. There are so many people who are committed to their jobs, who are committed to having to keep a job to be able to live.
Unfortunately,
what happens is that the very job that you are trying to keep to earn a living could also be the job that is killing you.
Mr. Ellis, I heard that on Wednesday in a boardroom. Somebody said that these persons have to push through because others have worked in that position and in that area for many a year, and they have to do it too. And I realized that these people are only looking at bottom line and expense, as opposed to the fact that the people were saying, listen, I'm no longer comfortable.
And there is often a suspicion because, you know, people are people. And the suspicion can often be that a person is just saying it as a means mm-hmm. of trying to get back at the company or just to get time off.
Or to be a nuisance. Or
to be a nuisance.
Miserable,
precisely.
Or the boss don't like them. But you see, all of that is knocked one side. If you have a systematic approach to the entire thing, buildings in this area will be inspected for the next 3 weeks. Please allow inspectors to come in and do their checks. We sweep that area. Then there's a report. Then another team is doing that.
So we
keep that going.
But there is costs as well. The cost of doing it is also seen as a deterrent, huh?
What about university students who are keen to get their hands wet and are interested in the environment? Because beyond the millennials,
you want to add that to their community service.
Well, no, you do what we call the you don't call it bus fare lunch money, but you give them a stipend to undertake this this particular project, where those who are keen to do it will willingly do it for a nominal fee under serving the country. That's partly the payback. That could be seen as part of the community service that they know have to serve.
Government can, and private sector, not just the government.
Yes, government and private sector.
Government and private sector could also work with the University of the West Indies in trying to do more research into this specific area.
Yes,
I think it's an absolute necessity. Okay? And when we say government, I really believe that, I doubt very much that this is a problem that is peculiar to Barbados in the region, and it may very well be necessary for us to do this on a regional basis.
That is true, and I guess where it would have been born, sir, in Brighton, Barbados, we have a service to export.
I hear you. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
I'm well.
Mr. Ellis, you listen to your programs or any moderator has been moderating?
I would like you to proceed with what you guys say so that I can determine how much of you I am going to listen to.
Or tolerate.
Precisely. Because I know you well enough. You know, I must put that on the table because they got some people who make come to this program occasionally, and when they hear me speak to you like that, they say, oh, you treat this man so badly.
It don't bother me.
But this is as a...
Let me
just say, I know this caller well. And based upon his track record, I know where he is likely to go. So that's why I tell you, let me listen to you.
Good. Now, how long the Parliament was sick? I only know one boy that complained about Parliament when I did my homework this morning. After hearing Parliament moving. How much people walk out of Parliament because it's sick? You can tell me?
No, I can't.
Good. All right, I have obviously some time with you. Let me go down the road. I hear you say just now about people and complaints. How regular the fire service in this country complains about the exits of buildings in small streets and other places? Have anything been done to those buildings? What about teachers complaining daily about the sick buildings? What about the principals and other people complaining about security? I keep telling you this is cold soup being worn over and worn over, as the politician said in Parliament. I am amazed to see the haste and fastness that Parliament can move to start the estimates on Monday. But David, as I said, if you complain, you miss laughing sport. When men getting abused, you met laughing sport. When other things happen, it takes on him like, I don't know what. Unions, they complaining for years. It amazed me this morning. You get on as though this is the first time you hearing this thing. Let me hear you now.
What do you expect me to say? That
you
I'm not
surprised. I can barely hear you.
That I'm not surprised to hear that from you?
If you operate at that level, how you expect me? Well, I can't believe that I hear those words out of your mouth this morning. For years, people have been complaining about the building.
All right. And this is the first time that you have heard me raise the issue of sick buildings in Barbados.
But
is it?
The way you said it.
No. Is it the first time?
I will go out to say so.
Well, to each his own.
So I will mark today as a special day in your life and my life that I call you right now, son. I just record my conversations with you very carefully.
But wait, let me ask you something. Why are you going to so much trouble, though?
Because when I come to you, I got to got my facts straight. And you hate people that got the facts straight. So you're laughing because you don't like people that...
Let me ask you another question. And how many years have you been recording these conversations?
Now there's almost 20, over 20 years.
Can you allow me to see your records?
David?
Is it possible for you to bring your records to me, or if you can, send them to me via internet?
No, I will bring them for you.
No, I want you here with that kind of information. You better send them to me. Because I can't trust your behavior when we come into contact with each other.
You go for to trust me. You give people the impression that I can come with a gun and a calling to beat you up.
No, man. Your tongue is sharpened on both sides. Is that dangerous enough?
I will hear that from you. But one thing I tell you, truth hurts.
Hurts who?
And for years, people have been complaining. I hear my talk just about putting your mattress. Nobody want to put the mattress outside. Nobody want all these things because we get higher up and better off.
I want to see that record, that 20 years of conversations between the two of us.
Then I go pick up on a disc because Sam go on that panic.
No, you should be using anything with dust. Look, you need to digitize that.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Turn it into...
Here we might just stay even in at you. All them roll on things, they're going to digitize everything. Because everything we're doing is making us sick.
I can see if we can get that cooking thing done and see if we... You cook?
You want me part of the competition that he might tell you?
You cook?
Yeah, I cook, man. I do a wicked, wicked cuckoo and a wicked, wicked macaroni pie.
What about 1, 2, 3?
If you want that, I could do it, but the corned beef of today is not of the same quality, so it don't taste that good. You know that?
I don't know. You're telling me.
So when last you eat corned beef?
Like anybody else, I've eaten corned beef recently. You think I don't eat corned beef?
But I only asked you when corned beef is of a very poor quality, Mr. Ellis.
Well, I've eaten it more recently than you have.
So what brand you use?
I don't even remember. I don't go with any specific brand.
Man, you're making sport. But David, if you really deal with corned beef, you would know the godson that real got naff fat in it. Look, there's two brands nowadays that aren't saying nothing.
Don't advertise.
Two brands that anybody would tell straight off. One begin with E and one begin with H. And the man saying nothing, corned beef is of very poor quality.
All right. You have a wonderful day. Down the brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay, all right. I must start by commending you for all that you have done at the funeral of Rashid Foster this week.
Thank you.
I mean, on behalf of the Brass Tacks family, hearty thanks. I mean, that was so well conducted. And don't talk about dignity and decorum. I think you did remarkably well.
Thank you.
Right. Now, let me see. How on his of me saying that? We in Barbados traditionally, I've got another point. I want to talk about the gathering, et cetera, but let me get to the way. We in Barbados traditionally pay a lot of respect to our dead loved ones, et cetera, and that's proven even with the front lady this week. There's one thing that I have got a reservation with that I've noticed. I've gone to some funerals over time, and it's been very pronounced here recently. I don't like the idea. I think this is not rocket science. It can be resolved rather quick and run it by the reverence and the funeral, the undertakers, etc. I don't like when a casket goes into the grave, that bumping of those stones. I am saying those stones can be sorted out, and you put in the lighting mold first, and then when the stones go in, you have got that cushion on before that bump. That is really wrenching. When you hear that bup, and people then burst out into tears. We had an old hymn years ago, people used to, you would hear that from us, Lord Abide With Me. When you hear Lord Abide With Me, everybody break down and bawl out. You don't hear that hymn again. I don't know if you can recall what I'm saying.
I know.
The bup, sorry?
I know, but I thought that funeral directors moved many years ago to try to minimize that by having a cushion on top of the coffin or the casket, so that
the cushion still. I'm saying to you, before any reservation, cushion is still not effective. They used.
So, what would you recommend?
Cushion.
One of the ways that you do.
I recommend
if you want
already.
If you want to avoid it, you know what you do.
I've recommended something already.
What's that?
I've recommended something. I'm saying the mold up. You see the mold heat up on the side. I'm saying those stones can be placed when you bring the lighter mold first. You can. And dig in the actual grave. You can put all those stones over there.
It's additional work for the people who have to do.
Additional work. They're being paid. It's dignity. I'm still keeping with the dignity of.
No, you have to pull out the stones and put them aside. You know they're gonna tell you that you gotta pay more for that.
If you're gonna grab a stone, what more to put all them in one area?
I hear you.
It can be resolved, but that booping. I heard it as recent as last week there, and people just. Commented, it can be resolved. You don't hear a bump on that casket.
All right.
Good. Now, I'm going forward. The gathering, Winter asked about the gathering for St. Michael. The gathering is in November.
It's in November. That's what I was told.
Right. And the title is Fetting and Food. This is keeping in sync with what he was saying about chewing your cuckoo and bringing the suggestion of the persons who want to call in or whatever will come and have their day on the cocoa, and whatever is made can go to charity in Dorset, particularly. I can jump in there.
You can organize it, you know.
Yeah, no quarrel.
You hear the response to that, Dennis?
Well, no, I can organize it. Everybody,
you can organize it.
Listen to me, man. Don't. Sorry to show.
You're part of the family, you know.
Yeah, well, I know that.
According to you, you are relentlessly a part of the family.
Why, what, Mr. Johnson? What he's saying, when asked about the doubles and things, he can come in and put his bit. Is acceptable? Call it his CARICOM. So if doubles not thing, he can bring it in. We ain't going to say, well, not that. So let him bring his doubles. So he's part of it.
What are you bringing?
Ah, boy. I like breadfruit. I can come with pork. I can come with a number of different stuff. So don't be concerned with that thing, because I know I can deliver. Yeah. I can deliver, rest assured. And if you want a little dance off, I can do a thing too.
But so all you can do, dancing breadfruit cuckoo?
I can even do that. that is a novelty. Yes, I can do it. Dancing breadfruit cuckoo.
Yes, sir.
But I can have my sense. So I think the call is a good call, and we can put some flesh on it. We flesh it up, and by November, we should have something. Because I have to still develop myself a bit.
This cell isn't easy at all, boy.
Sorry.
I'm amazed you guys aren't easy at all.
No,
the fellas, they actually come up with a concept right here on Brass Stacks, and then flesh out the whole concept right here on Brass Stacks, and present the station with a fait accompli. Have a good day, bro. Down to Brass Stacks.
Morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Good, thank you. I'm a bit concerned about the sick buildings. I'm wondering if the University of the West Indies could not assist in helping us to be able to find out what if somebody can do some research, or they bring persons out every year at the university, if they can help us to see if we can get to the root of this.
Yes, I think it's a good call.
You know, because it really, I mean, we have the university there. We should use them.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yes.
One really, perhaps they may be doing research and we don't even know about it. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of that happens too.
Yeah, but I think we need to know, because it is very worrying, you know. So we need to get them involved, and they're there. And they should be able to help us.
All right.
Thank you.
You've had any experience with this problem though?
No, because I work in a hotel.
Yes.
And our lot of our windows and doors and everything was always open. We had no problem, and most of our guests did not want air conditioning. So they just like the air. So I never had any problem with that at all.
Yes.
But that really worries me, you know, that so many things are people having to go home, and that building that they have to, the Parliament building, well, that is really awful. So we really need to get someone with expertise, the university, to assist us in getting that organized.
All right. Thank you very much, ma'am. Down to Brass Stacks. Now, this person says that they have been a visitor to the QEH, and they have noticed that several amputees do not have prostheses because of the extremely high costs. Perhaps persons or families of those who had prostheses might be willing to donate them and have the recipients fitted rather than have them thrown out when no longer needed. It would be a great recycling effort and a valiant contribution to aiding those who are less fortunate, says the writer. The same can be said for iframes, which can be recycled. And the woman who has written this has made the observation that many of the people who are afflicted in this way are men. Down to Brass Stacks.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis. I just wanted to refer to Mr. Frondell's conference
yeah.
A few days ago, and haven't heard him. and haven't read extracts in our newspaper, Weekend Nation. I just want to thank God for Ms. Niamonti being the Prime Minister of Barbados at this present time. If I were a Prime Minister in government responsible for my cabinet, Mr. Ellis, I don't think that I would want...
No, that's dangerous. Stop. Like, be careful.
No. I read that, Mr. Ellis.
Yeah, well, you need to be careful with that.
Yeah, that's why I find it disconcerting and upsetting. But, again, all I want to say is thank God to Ms. Motley. May God give her strength to keep pushing on.
Well, you know, the focus on politics in a country can be very, very interesting. You know, I function in a job where I have watched politicians over the years, and I've seen them come and go. I've seen situations such as this one, where there is an administration that is relatively new, and there is a lot of buzz and a lot of excitement about that administration.
And then things change.
And then, after a while, the pressure starts to mount on it because, you know, it cannot deliver all that it says it wants to deliver. Part of the big challenge that I think this particular group of leaders will face is that you have a number of people in the group who are lacking in experience in leadership. And, you know, Ms. Motley can only carry so much of this load. It is very, very important.
I understand that.
That some of these other people who are part of the government, that they develop very quickly when it comes to this whole question of being a leader. And if they don't, the same thing that happened with previous administrations will eventually happen with this one. And that is the pressure is going to mount. And the more the pressure mounts, the more difficult some people can become. They can become callous. They can start to feel as though, oh, what's the sense of trying? I'm putting all of this effort in and the people are not realizing what I am doing and they're cussing me. And then they start to throw their hands up in the air and say, well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, let them talk. I ain't doing nothing. So that is not so difficult to happen. It's very, very easy. And there are some signs already that there are some people in this administration that we got to keep our eyes on their behavior. All right? I ain't calling the names right now.
No, you don't need to, Mr.
But
the
people who have their ears to the ground know full well what is already being said, okay? And those people who are behaving in that kind of offhand manner have to be made aware that in the same way that previous people in other administrations were dealt with, they too are going to end up moving from hero to zero if they don't fix that.
Exactly. And, Mr. Ellis, to be honest with you, I don't know why, but I am confident that the lady we have as Prime Minister now has the courage and the drive to fix things like that.
But she can't do it herself.
No, she can't. She can't. But
I don't understand
we had cabinet ministers who were dismissed already. We've had that.
I don't think it's about dismissing people.
I think the critical thing here is in
leadership is about trying to groom, is trying to counsel, trying to encourage people and get them
to
listen to what is happening on the ground as well. They can't sit down and all of them hold on to her coattails forever. You just got to step out there and start to, you know, establish yourself.
In all that, we do need people with integrity and honesty to manage our public affairs. We do. We definitely do. Otherwise, it's like spinning top in mud. Where are we going?
Well, all I can say to you is that leadership at every level requires certain attributes and a certain approach. It does not matter whether you are in the private sector or in the public sector, whether you are a minister or a person further down the line, either in government or in a company.
Right.
This is a requirement across the board. You know, we have been talking a lot about where we are failing as a country. We talked about how people treat the poor. We talk about poor service, you know. Right across the board in the country, this approach to how you deal with people is important. You cannot, and certainly I can't, from where I sit down here and talk about it, and then don't recognize that it is also a requirement on my part as well. But
right.
All of us have this responsibility to recognize that, you know, they got people, for instance, who believe that they could come and say to you, you know, I am a plain spoken person. I don't care about nobody.
Right.
Whenever I got something to say, I say however I feel like saying it, whenever I feel like saying it. And I must tell you, that don't work.
No, because when it comes back to them, they don't like it.
It isn't just that. It isn't just that. Because everybody who coming to you got, so many people come with all types of issues and stuff like that. So that we still have to bear in mind that it is not just about us. And I'm saying that because, I mean, in my job, I also have to deal with that. And I'm saying to you that you have to deal with it. Your friends have to deal with it. The ministers of government have to deal with it. The people who are the senior managers and stuff in the public service have to come to terms with it. If we really want to change Barbados, then it begins with each and every one of us. It's not by pointing the accusing finger at somebody else and not recognizing that it is also my responsibility.
Now, I work in the service industry all my life. And I can tell you, if that is not a job that you love with all your heart, it would be very difficult for you to do. Because a lot of customers, a lot of the normal average persons who go into places for service,
mm-hmm.
perceive that person there as having to do, put up, and tolerate whatever they do because they are the customer. And to me, that also has to change.
All right,
Hello?
Sir. Thank you very
All
much.
Right.
Down to brass tacks. It's now 11:40 in Barbados. Turn your radio down, please.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Not too bad. No, when I first spoke about air conditioning, a lot of people laughed, but the first people that actually complained about air conditioning were women working in offices. And I told Miss I forget her name now. No, I'm bothering names anyway. Air conditioning is not woman friendly. It was actually, this was about 2015 when I first heard it. It was on the BBC. And if you were to punch in right now, BBC women air conditioning, you will see that it has a lot more than just being cool. The gentleman was right. Who spoke to you? I was using the Bluetooth. It has to do with my metabolism, the difference in metabolism between men and women. It can harm internal organs and stuff like that. At least the body, it has a connection between body fat. And we always talk about obesity.
This person writes to say, this person is writing, this lady says that she doesn't believe that these buildings have problems. She believes there is no systematic cleaning process to keep them clean. She recommends a thorough cleaning of air conditioning vents and that this should be done quarterly. Carpets, fabric seating, and window drapery needs to be deep cleaned every 6 months, she says. The main problem in Barbados is maintenance. And those carrying out the cleaning need to make sure they clean with pride, no shortcuts. How do you respond to that? Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, how do you respond to that?
I say yes, that is obviously maintenance in certain areas is actually needed. That will help reduce the incidents. But this particular study was carried out by two scientists, and they showed the relationship between internal organs and the air conditioning, the rate of metabolism of, between women and men. And when it was first, soon after these women complained on the BBC, a scientist came on. He said that when you look into the records, you'll see that air conditioning was originally designed for a white Anglo-Saxon male about the age of 40, which is a very strange thing. It was specifically designed for them. This is a scientist speaking. You know, and
okay, so it was designed for them. So did they research whether it was having a similar impact on white on other people?
Yes, on women, but they didn't go into non-white men. But that's very really dependent also, because I have a problem with air conditioning. I know a lot of non-whites who are men who also have a problem with air conditioning. But you should read it, and you will see that it actually leaves the body fat with the real metabolism. Now, one other thing, too, your gentleman there was speaking about, he told you he was on the Bluetooth, right? No, don't get frightened. There's an app called the EMF detector, which will actually, you can install it on your smartphone, and you could actually see something. It will actually pick up the radiation coming from Wi-Fi.
So what do you call it? You said it was an
EMF detector. It's an app. You can install it. It shows you the readings coming from Wi-Fi. Radiation readings, but it also shows you Bluetooth, and Bluetooth carries the highest amount of radiation than this Wi-Fi. Now they also give you some solutions. I'm not putting anybody going to craze, but I think it's wise if we look into that as well. Especially now we're gonna be giving Wi-Fi in schools to children and stuff like that. We should get noise. But you know, sorry, we should not have to wait for the university to invest in these. This generation right now got everything that I had to go to college to learn, to build and big machines that I had to use. They can do it on their apps. Let's have inquiring minds.
They say here on EMF, EMF meters detect fields emitted by moving electrically charged objects. Electromagnetic fields are created using alternating current and direct current, but with different results. EMF meters measure fields produced by alternating current, the type of electricity surging through your microwaves and television. That's what it says here.
Right. Well, even the old reality TVs used to have a ground strap around them to stop...
But it doesn't mention anything at all to do with Bluetooth.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that this particular app actually shows you the Bluetooth reading. I've been at different locations with it, and it has a higher radiation. But there's also the EMF Academy. See, what happens is there's some connections that they make, but no connections are absolutely definitive. But they give you caution. I think we should go to the road of caution, especially for the children that they're using these things.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Dr. Brastax, hello.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
You guys read a WhatsApp there from a lady about the procedure, so expensive to me.
Yes.
I wanted to know, as she had my phone tapped. Only this week, I was speaking to someone in authority about the prices that we have to go through to get a procedure. It's pretty expensive.
How expensive?
But the last one I had, $6,000.
But it isn't something that you can get from somebody else just like that, because doesn't it have to be properly fitted to you?
Yes,
it's a personal fit.
Yes. You get measure, then you go and try it, and everything before you can use it.
Yes.
But the price. Then again, the house that thing you use to put on the stub, a silicone, that is pretty expensive. And don't last that long. It crack up quick. Within 6 months, it crack up.
How long have you had to use a prosthesis?
About 11 years.
And how many have you had to change in that 11-year period?
Two. The stump, right, it draws in, it gets small. And when it gets small, it goes too far down inside the foot. Don't care how much socks you put on it. It goes too far on the inside.
Yeah.
So it's discomfort to walk with it.
How would you suggest that Barbados deals with the high cost of it?
Well, I believe that the authorities have to look into it, right? Because they had other firms came here with the same thing to with the making procedures. But I don't know, the main lines very low. So I don't know what the cause of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, with the procedures, Mr. Ellis, it gave about half a mobility. You understand?
Yeah.
Without that, and you're going to walk, and you're going to be hopping. It's difficult to hop, you know what I mean? One leg.
When is the last time you changed your prosthesis?
Let me see, this is about 4 years. Years ago.
So it seems as though you are fast approaching the point where you may have to change it again.
If we had gone, I don't have it. But I believe the stuff already tricked enough that it ain't going to trick no more.
Okay.
That's mildly belief. I don't know. Because it fits me quite good now, you know?
Yeah.
But that is something I would like. Double
you come into contact with other people who complain about it, the cost?
Yes, Mr. Ellis. Well, I listened a lot to, like, my friends, people who was in hospital with me at the same time. You know, they called me and tell me how they are getting through and whatnot.
A lot of men continue to lose their limbs, though.
Yes.
A lot. I mean, there really is a need for us to keep a focus on that, because when you go to the hospital to look for anyone, you see so much of it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We're coming back after the regional roundup and the local headlines.